The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb and Ira Weintraub, he's inside the MDN studios over at Ann Arbor Radio. I'm inside the Webb studio in my home office. We've spent a lot of time here over these last few months having serious discussions about the fight against the coronavirus, you know, how we endure, through what we are going through at this point, how we handle things on the home front, trying to find ways to, when it comes to the time that we have with our families, trying to find ways to make the most of that time. We have, spoken a great deal about how many of us are actually finding ways to do that, to connect with family. But, you know, that should not obscure some of the serious and unfortunate circumstances that many face because they have to be at home more due to this, and not just because of what it might mean for them professionally, but what it means to them personally on the home front. A lot of women and children in situations that are far from ideal. Joining us to talk about lifelines for and help for women and children in such situations is Barbara Neese May. She is the executive director for the Safe House Center, and she is a great friend of the show, and she joins us here today. Barbara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. Thank you so much. Wow, how you introduced this was very thoughtful and insightful. Thank you.
Yeah, it is, you know, we have mentioned this before. You know, Ira and I and several guests, we have talked a lot about, you know, how while it's unfortunate that we can't be out in our everyday lives, that we have actually found some really beneficial time with our families, to connect with our families and be with our kids and our wives and how great it is. And it's important not to lose sight in that discussion, Barbara, that there are a lot of people out there that are not in that situation. So first, before we dive into it, let's just start off with you explaining to people what Safe House Center is, what your mission statement is, the service that you provide.
Well, Safe House Center is an organization in Washtenaw County that provides help and support to over 5,000 survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence every year right here in our community. We do that through a variety of ways. We have our residential program, which is, of course, our shelter, and we assist with locating, as best we can, of course, affordable housing following shelter. Also, we have our non-residential programs, which includes our helpline, where anybody can call, friends, family, people who are wondering, you know, about domestic violence and sexual assault and would like to learn more. They can call our helpline at 995-5444. And through that helpline, you can access our counseling services, our court services. We assist in, even still now, counseling, personal protection order, court services, questions about processes. We also have a volunteer program that we're still using our volunteers and exploring ways to recruit more and train more volunteers. We're still the one thing that has stopped is other than in shelter in our residential program, we're not doing face-to-face interactions. We're doing them over the phone and through video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's one of the things I recall some of the experts saying when the shelter in place first was enacted was that, you know, the opportunities for people to recognize signs of abuse, so kids at school, women at work, you know, where coworkers or teachers or fellow students could kind of see the signs, that those opportunities weren't going to be there And that some of the issues that because people are at home all the time now, some of those issues would be exacerbated. So I'm curious, you know, if you've noticed, you know, has there been a rise in cases like this? Have we seen, maybe an uptick, if you will, in circumstances like this because we are all at home here now?
Well, I would say yes. You know, when in the first week or so of all of this happening, we saw an uptick in our phone calls, and we think it was because people were realizing, whoa, I'm going to be at home with this assailant, and I need to figure this out. But then what has happened, there's a couple of different ways of looking at this. Overall, we know that cases are on the rise because survivors used a lot of different strategies in the home and outside of the home to cope and to try and minimize what was happening, or they were able to get away from the assailant much more easily because prior to all of this, achieving personal space and privacy was, I mean, it wasn't easy for a lot of survivors, but it's easier than it is now. So one thing that we do when we talk to survivors is we talk about safety planning, and one of the major cornerstones of safety planning is achieving some privacy, some time when you're not around the assailant to do what you need to do to be able to keep yourself safe. And that isn't an option right now. And so we saw an uptick in our helpline calls. The Sheriff's Department, WCSO, Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office, has actually seen an increase in calls for domestic violence, which we respond to, every single one of them throughout the county, but the other municipalities aren't seeing as many calls. However, we find that when survivors call the police or call Safe House, it's because they've run out of all other resources to try and stay safe, and they've had the privacy to make those calls. And so one of two things could be happening. The survivors are really good at surviving, and they probably feel like if I were to call Safe House and try and get help and move into the shelter, what would I do next? Because, you know, finding a job, you know, figuring out housing might feel very overwhelming under the Stay Home, Stay Safe order, which we are helping people, but the reality is that a lot of things have come to a standstill. On the flip side, calling the police might not feel like an option, too, because of the jail releases that are happening and the fact that jails are trying to keep, for good reason, their census low. So it's not as though they would go to jail and then they have somewhere else to go. They're probably definitely afraid that they were going to come back. So that's a really long answer, but it is a complicated issue. And the bottom line is at Safe House, we're reaching out to people, you know, friends, family, community members, educate yourself about the signs of domestic violence. Educate yourself about talking to survivors, because while they may not be able to call Safe House, they may be able to go for a walk with a neighbor. And if the neighbor can just help keep the survivor buoyed until they feel like they can make that phone call, we do encourage people to make that call. We are fully operational. We're answering our phones 24/7. We're there. And you don't have to feel like you're getting ready to leave to call Safe House. It's about just sorting out your options and thinking things through. That's the experience that we lend to survivors.
We're talking to Barbara Neese-May, the executive director for Safe House Center. And, you know, I wonder, Barbara, because you mentioned all of the concerns that a survivor may have, you know, now you add another layer on that, maybe stepping into a shelter setting and having some concern about what is a totally legitimate concern as you are, you know, maybe leaving your dwelling and, you know, you wonder about exposure to the, you know, to the coronavirus. So I'm curious, how have your services been modified, been altered, because of what we're going through right now?
Yes, I would say in a few areas, you know, starting with the shelter, and we're practicing all precautions to protect staff and survivors that are staying in the shelter. So those kinds of things that have happened in terms of having masks and and those kinds of things. The reality was is that we were already always cleaning all the time, and we have separate rooms for each family unit. We've always had that, so that helps. When it comes to the changes in services from the non-residential side, like I said, anything that was face-to-face, like we would go to the hospital and visit with a survivor who might have been assaulted, and we're not able to do that right now. We would go to court, but interestingly enough, there are a couple of courts that are moving to Zoom, and so we're able to participate that way and provide information to survivors about what's happening. So, and we were the first county to really address being able to get a PPO. It, you know, granted, we're not able to be face-to-face, but we're still able to pull together the information and get it submitted to the judge. And also, we're working with survivors who, one thing that the Supreme Court decided is that if there was a, well, the governor, I should say, ordered that if you have a personal protection order that is expiring during this time, it's been automatically extended to July 21st. And service is a concern, so if you have any questions, call Safe House and we can be helpful on that. So, I mean, essentially,
so, you know what? Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we're also
doing Go ahead.
By Zoom. So that is something that if survivors want to participate in our support groups, we can, we're still doing that. So we're managing.
So, you know, one of the things that we always get into here, and I, you know, want to make sure that we emphasize the helpline 24/7, it's open, available, 734-995-5444. But you know, for our listeners, those that want to help, you know, how what are the ways in which people in the community can help, especially now as we are going through COVID-19, I imagine people aren't, you know, they can't just drop things off anymore. So what are some of the ways in which people who are interested in helping, what are some of the ways in which they can help?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. First of all, on our website, safehousecenter.org, we have an Amazon wish list. And so we're able to receive donations that way, and we're updating that weekly based on our needs for the program. Additionally, financial donations are welcome. We have our we have several events that were to have happened during this period, and we're losing revenue from doing those fundraising events. So while the community has really thought to step up, we still have a fundraising goal for this fiscal year, and we're needing to still meet that goal. Again, I can't say how great the community has been. The end also is that we have not met our fundraising goal yet for this year, and we need to do so. And that donations can be made through our online portal at safehousecenter.org.
Yeah, that is, I mean, we have so much focus, and understandably so, on the loss of revenue for businesses. But for organizations, for charitable organizations, like you just mentioned, Barbara, the huge hit to we'll call it a fundraising season. I mean, we deal in sports here. This is a major fundraising season that, you know, there has been a serious chunk taken out of. You know, on the horizon, are there any, assuming that we come back online anytime soon, are there any events looking down the line, any campaigns down the line that, that you can speak to that maybe people can keep an eye out for moving forward?
Absolutely. To start with, your wonderful partner there, Ira Weintraub, and Phil Holmes have agreed to co-chair our men's campaign again this year, which is an opportunity for men in our community to say, I stand with Safe House. I want to make a contribution, and we will be publishing the names of those who have participated in the October Observer, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we're going to be starting that campaign in the next few weeks, which I'm very excited about. And that might be a campaign that isn't as affected because it doesn't involve an event. We're also looking, we had our breakfast event, which is a major fundraiser for us, scheduled in April. We're looking to try and reschedule it and trying to figure out a virtual option. So following our social media and our webpage, we'll give information on that. And additionally, we have a golf outing that's planned for September. And thinking positively, we are working toward that still happening. And that information will be on our website in the coming weeks as well. So we're trying to press, we believe in pressing forward. We believe in having as positive an attitude as possible. But we're also very aware of the fact that fundraising is not going to be what it has been, and needing to reach out to our community. Because the thing is, we were talking about numbers, and what I didn't mention is that what we're hearing from other areas as places are opening up and people are moving around a little bit more, and when survivors have more privacy to reach out for help, we're expecting a surge, and we've prepared for that. We've cross-trained all of our staff to focus on critical services if we need to redeploy. We're talking to our community partners about it and seeking to raise the dollars that we think we might need to be sure that we can respond to that need.
Absolutely. SafeHouseCenter.org, SafeHouseCenter.org. You heard Barbara talk about the wish list that they have there. And there's a, you know, there's a way to visit their Amazon wish list, so you can have things delivered right to the shelter. And then you can also donate through their online portal at safehousecenter.org. But Barbara, most importantly, can you one more time go over all of the points of contact, all of the ways in which a survivor of sexual assault or domestic violence, how they can get in contact with Safe House Center for help?
There's a variety of ways. To begin with, of course, our 24/7 helpline, which is 734-995-5444. We have lots of information on our website, and we also have a bar on our website that you can click, and it'll erase from having looked at it in your history. So if a survivor is worried about somebody looking at their device, you can look at our website for resources, press the quick exit bar, and it removes it from your history. We're also on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and sometimes seeming like you're scrolling through social media is a little bit easier to disguise what you're doing, and you can look at the resources there. And you know, if a survivor is listening right now, we want you to know we believe you. We know you're there, and we're there when you're able to reach out. Also, if you think you know someone who's going through something like this and you're not sure how to talk to them, please feel free to call our helpline again at 995-5444, and we're happy to talk you through how to be helpful to the survivor. We are really relying on friends and family right now to help buoy survivors as they get through this.
Yeah, I'm on the website right now, and you guys truly are, you know, thinking of everything. This quick exit bar at the very, very top, it illustrates the kind of situation that a lot of survivors find themselves in, where you got to get off a website quickly, have it not show up in your history because your phone or computer is being checked. Well, that has been thought of by our friends at Safe House Center. Again, safehousecenter.org, safehousecenter.org, the 24-hour helpline, 734 995-5444. If you or someone you know is in a situation where it is an abusive situation you're living in, you can find help. Well, Barbara, thanks a lot for your time. This entire conversation, I didn't ask you how you and your family are doing during this shelter in place, during this pandemic.
You know, my family, my adult kids who live elsewhere are being so careful, and I'm so proud of them for that. They're just really doing the right thing. And then the one that's still at home is with us, and my husband works in healthcare, so we've been really, really careful because we both know that our jobs rely on us to staying healthy so that we can continue to support the people that we serve. But thank you for asking. I've been thinking so much of my church and my church family. It's been affecting my church family, and so I've been thinking about them, and it's affecting also different staff and volunteers at Safe House in terms of them knowing people that are being impacted and wanting to be a good support for them. So while we've had opportunities to connect better as family, even though it's over video or something like that, I know that I wish it didn't have to be for this reason. So.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Barbara, yes. thank you so much for doing what you do and for Safe House Center doing what it does. SafeHouseCenter.org. If you find yourself in need, or you know someone needs help, that's a portal. You can also donate by going to safehousecenter.org. But if you find yourself in need or know someone that is in need, 734-995-5444 is the 24-hour helpline for Safe House Center. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for your time this morning, and stay safe. Keep doing what you do.
All right, thank you, and thanks to the both of you for being such a strong supporters of Safe House. You have no idea how much that means to us and how we're able to advance our mission because of the two of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is Barbara Neese-May, the executive director of Safe House Center. We got to get to a break. An abrupt segue. We'll get into the recruiting roundup on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the Ticket.